You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
You're listening to Asia First Weekend Edition this Saturday morning. Me, Justine Moss, a very good morning to you. Crossing now to Simon Marks, our US Bureau Chief in Washington, D.C. Hi, Simon.
Hello, Justine.
Thanks once again for joining us here and keeping us updated. Let's start off with those American troops. They've pulled out of the main military base in Afghanistan, the Bagram Air Base, leaving behind a piece of the World Trade Center. They did bury that 20 years ago. And, you know, a top US commander has warned that the country may descend into civil war without their presence.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is a moment in history. The US and NATO forces leaving Bagram for the last time, this sprawling complex that has basically been absolutely the central coordinating center for military operations in Afghanistan for 20 years. And at times, of course, was also a notorious and controversial prison. Over the last several days, residents in the area say they have heard explosions, seen indications of fires as the Americans and other NATO forces have sought to get rid of material that they didn't want falling into the hands of the Taliban or anyone else for that matter. They also, of course, have taken a substantial amount of their property with them, but there is some material that they are leaving behind that will now be picked over by local residents. The US insists there is nothing there that can be used to harm US forces or further destabilize Afghanistan by the Taliban. But there's also no question that as this US troop withdrawal picks up its pace, and remember, President Biden has said that he wants all troops out of Afghanistan in time for the 20th anniversary of the September the 11th attacks on America in 2001 by al-Qaeda. There's actually every indication that at its current pace, the troop withdrawal will be completed by then. But as the troops pull out, in some parts of the country, particularly in the north, the Taliban are seizing territory and moving in to the point where, as you say, a senior U.S. general on the ground in Afghanistan earlier this week warned that the security situation was deteriorating, that in the absence of any kind of political agreement or political deal, there was every reason to fear the possibility of fresh civil conflict in Afghanistan. And there are huge questions that are being asked by Afghans themselves, particularly, of course, by women in Afghanistan, fearful that if the Taliban retake control of the country, their lot will deteriorate as rapidly as it has improved over the last 20 years since the Americans took up position in Afghanistan, and questions that President Biden was being asked today at the White House at an event that he wanted to remain focused on America's economic recovery. But reporters being reporters decided it was a good moment to ask him about the future situation in Afghanistan, given the advances the Taliban have been making and the concerns that at least one top military commander has been expressing. And President Biden got very, very irritated with reporters, saying briefly that the United States has developed what they refer to as this over-the-horizon scenario for helping Afghanistan through economic and humanitarian assistance, and essentially saying, if you've got any problems, we're right over the horizon. reason, just give us a call. But then absolutely refusing to take any follow-up questions, and indeed bristling at reporters and pointing out to them that we're on the eve of the 4th of July holiday here in the United States and everything is going very well in a wide variety of different areas, and why on earth were they peppering him with negative questions? Although he later corrected himself and said that the questions were legitimate, but that he would address them next week. I think that was all illustrative of the fact that the Biden White House is on the back foot over this withdrawal from Afghanistan. They have not presented a cogent explanation of how things are going to be kept sufficiently peaceful in Afghanistan that the country doesn't in future pose a threat to American and allied interests. And those questions are only going to mount as the pace of this U.S. troop withdrawal picks up.
Simon, let's talk about Miami now, the Miami condo collapse, which happened, you know, over a week ago, that tragic collapse. President Joe Biden, his wife visiting that site, saying it's still possible to find survivors in the blast. Federal funding will continue. And we heard, of course, just a few hours ago that a young girl was pulled out. And I think it takes the death toll to around 20.
Yeah, the official death toll stands at 20 here tonight, and that means that there are now officially 128 people still unaccounted for. That seven-year-old girl whose remains were recovered today, along with the remains of another handful of people, was the daughter of a Miami firefighter who has not been involved in the recovery process, but did voluntarily join the search, saying to officials that he hoped he could help find not just his daughter, but everyone else missing in the rubble of that partial building collapse that took place at 2 o'clock in the morning local time on Thursday of last week. It has been just desperate to witness the scenes from Miami. The hope that still exists that perhaps by some miracle, and that is what the governor of Florida, Ron DeSantis, said it was going to take, a miracle, someone might be recovered alive in the rubble. But I think with every passing hour, hope is fading of recovering anyone alive, and questions are mounting about what caused this collapse, with the revelation that a passerby captured cell phone video about 45 minutes before the building pancaked in on itself, video that was originally uploaded to TikTok that shows water flooding into the garage of the building, which was in the basement beneath the building, and large pieces of concrete having fallen from the ceiling, presumably as a result of that water leak. And you can hear on the tape passers-by expressing astonishment at what they're witnessing. Of course, within 45 minutes, other passers-by would be witnessing an even greater tragedy as that building entirely collapsed. We know, as we talked about on the program last week, structural engineers as early as 2018 warned that the design of the building was flawed. The Homeowners Association had said to residents that $15 million needed to be raised for repairs. That was disclosed to residents of the building back in April. But I think no one could possibly have envisaged that this kind of a tragedy was going to occur. A grand jury has been impaneled, ready to hear evidence about any possible crimes that may arise out of this. And President Biden spent 3 hours with the families of the missing on Thursday, plus extensive amounts of time with rescue workers and structural engineers who have been attending to the site, and got very emotional when he talked about the conversations that he had had with families, saying that he knew and understood the scale of the loss that they were facing, and describing in emotional terms what he had gone through when his first wife and infant daughter died in 1972 in a car accident. And he said, you know, being told on his way back to Washington on an aeroplane that this accident had occurred and that no one knew whether his two other children who were in the car were going to survive, had just created this awful awful sense of horror for him. So he was very empathetic in the way in which he not just described those conversations, but related to the families of the missing that he met. And as you know, he's promising full federal assistance, not just in the ongoing operations at the site, but also in the investigation. Also just worth pointing out, a confluence of awful potential events, because there's a hurricane forming in the Gulf off the Florida coast. And the fear is that that by the middle of next week, it could be further hampering rescue efforts at the site. So that's another issue that the authorities in Florida are having to contend with.
You're listening to Asia First Weekend Edition with me, Justine Moss, speaking to Simon Marks, our US Bureau Chief in Washington, D.C. Simon, let's go to some good news that has come out of the U.S. U.S. employers adding 850,000 workers in June, a strong sign that the labor market's recovery is gaining that momentum. Several economic developments this week, plus consumer confidence is high at the moment.
Yeah, absolutely. And that, of course, fueled another excellent end to the week on the financial markets, preparing as they are for a day off trading on Monday with the July 4th holiday. That new jobs number really buoyed investors. 850,000 jobs. That is more than the markets anticipated. Economists had suggested they thought the number was going to be around 700,000. So evidence there, and that's one of the reasons why President Biden seized on these numbers to hold that event at the White House where he wanted to talk about jobs numbers, not Afghanistan. Evidence, he says, that this economy is now rebounding and that some of the slightly more tepid numbers that we'd seen over the last few weeks, he believes are now, he hopes, are now in his rear view window. But the number of unemployed did tick up. The jobless rate rose to 5.9%. Because you've still got a growing number of people seeking jobs, and particularly some of those who are coming to the end of their pandemic-related benefits. There are still questions about structural shifts that are taking place in the U.S. Labor market. But in terms of the market reaction to all of this, the Dow Jones Industrial Average ended the day up about half a percentage point in value, the S&P 500 up 3/4 of a percentage point in value, and the NASDAQ still notching up records, up 0.8 percentage points in value, closing at 14,639. Next week, there will be more jobs numbers to come. There will also be the minutes released of the most recent Fed meeting, and investors are going to be poring over those to get more of a sense of the Fed's thinking about interest rates, because there are still concerns on Wall Street among investors across the country about possible inflationary pressures. When might the Fed raise rates? Will it wait until 2023? Could there be action sooner than that? So those minutes, I think, are going to be very important in terms of guiding the markets next week. But definitely a buoyant week on Wall Street with a sense that perhaps this economic recovery is real. And that is something that investors certainly hope is the outcome of all of this.
And nice news going into the long weekend, of course, July 4th on Sunday. Simon, as always, thank you so much for speaking to us here in Singapore and keeping us updated.
Thanks, Justine. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Talking there with Simon Marks, our US Bureau Chief in Washington, D.C.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at Coda. coda.com/tap.